Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. I hope you're having a great day. General at your service, at ease. There he is, Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl winner. Broaddus himself has Krusty's Corner coming up at 2:40. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup as always.
Who
G-Bag of the Day coming up 2:30.
Who run it?
Okay.
Who run it?
I think you do, sir.
All right, thank you.
You run that board. Do a hell of a job every afternoon for us there at Master Control. LA Live every evening, 5:40, 5:45-ish. He replays you the G-Bag of the Day. We hit some randos. It's amazing. And, of course, you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. It's at 105thefan.com. It's streaming on Twitch, and it is streaming on YouTube. So thanks so much for making us part of your day. Along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, so the Cowboys are heading to Denver. Do they fly tonight? Do they fly in the morning? They've got to be flying tonight if they have practice tomorrow, right?
Yeah, they fly this afternoon to Denver. They've got practice Thursday and Friday and then a game Saturday night here on 105.3 The Fan.
What are you hoping to see? Is it roster battles? Is it starting battles? What are you locked in on here, Brian?
Yeah, where this is going to be tough is with these practices, McCarthy and the staff are going to take the advantage of controlling the practice. They're not going to get their quarterback hit. You know, there's not going to be, you know, maybe there's some, you know, taking guys to the ground. Maybe, you know, the Broncos say, listen, we don't want to tackle the backs. We'll just tag off and all that. They're going to be able to control the practices, but they're going to be able to have one-on-ones, nine-on-sevens, things like that, that they can control. The game they can't control. They can't control the hitting. They can't control the, you know, the after the play stuff. And so they're going to put their starters in positions during these practices.
That we won't see in the game.
You won't see in the
game. So the practices are more important for the evaluators?
Yeah, I think if you're Will McClay, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Mike McCarthy, and staff, you're looking at these practices with the one-on-ones and saying, okay, we've seen them against our own. How are they matching up one-on-one against this defensive
end? We need the Cowboys offensive line to hold against Denver better than they've been holding against their own team. And yeah. I mean holding up, not
holding
committing
up.
Penalties.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how much you're not going to see your starters play very much at all in that first preseason game. And they're going to take full advantage of these practices. And I think anybody that's out there watching the Broncos and the Cowboys practice are probably going to get a pretty good dose of Dak and Zeke and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith and all that. So that's where we start to, as you follow along with the guys and gals that cover the team and the videos and the Twitter and things, you can gauge a little bit there. The game is going to be a lot different from what you see at these practices.
Well, hopefully, you know, over the course of the 3 days, we get some semblance of a positive running game.
Yeah.
Dak has time to throw. He's getting the ball to CD Lamb. Other receivers are stepping up and making plays. Like, to me, so much of the focus is on the offense. I feel like the defense is going to be good. And if the offense can be what it was in the first 8 or 9 weeks of last year, maybe a magical season could still come together. I'm cynical about that, obviously, if you listen to the show. I'm not a big believer, but things can change quickly in the NFL, and really what it comes down to the Cowboys is Tyron and Zach being the young versions of Tyron and Zach, Tyler Smith being good, and Terrence Steele not being horrible, you know? And if those things happen and you could run the football, I'll admit I'm wrong about this team, Brian. I'm ready to do that. Prove me wrong this weekend, Cowboys. That's where I'm at.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I'd like to hear some positivity about how the offensive line was able to not only secure down blocks along the line, get to second level. Oh, all of a sudden here's a little clip of Zeke, you know, getting through a hole and then he's not touched till 5 yards down the field. Oh, here's Tony Pollard getting on the outside to the edge. Oh, nobody's touching him for 4 or 5 yards there. Oh, Rico Dowdle, look, he's catching a ball in the flat, getting up the side. That's that to me would make me feel a lot better about what we've seen. The offense has made improvement. Bobby and I did our Love of the Star podcast last night, and Bobby was talking about guys that had practiced well. But we keep coming back to the offense since they put on the pads each day has gotten a little bit better. But to your point, I'd like to see this, the reports coming out of Thursday and Friday of being Cowboys offensive line handling pass rush, but also handling things in the running game.
Now, you're flying out Saturday morning. You'll be on the call, kickoff around 8, right?
Right.
That's
right.
Your schedule for the weekend?
That's my schedule for the weekend. For
All
sure.
right, Tolo's Nationals. Yeah, you're going to want to check that out. It's great content there with Brad Cham and Brian Broaddus calling the game. Okay, what else is going on here in our world of sport? Let's check out the text. You know, we're going to do an Ask Us Anything a little bit later on. But we do have some good questions coming in right now. 214, Brian, can you look into body language of the team as if they're checking out from coaching, or is it too early from that?
No, that's a great question, by the way.
Must be a coach or something.
Yeah, that's thinking deep right there.
Yeah.
I could tell that with what was going on with Garibay, that the pressure was getting too much.
Mm-hmm. And you called it.
I said this last night again on our podcast that it looked like they were dropping just truckloads of dirt on him, and every time he was near the top, another truckload of dirt came on top of him.
Ooh.
And you could tell the pressure really bothered him, and I think that's why the Cowboys made the decision they did.
Yeah, reminds me of the fall of 1994, okay?
Yeah.
I had reported for my freshman year at Point Loma Nazarene College, okay? And the freshman dorm sat literally 50 yards from a great surf break, right?
Right.
And the young guys that were there who lived in San Diego, now I'm from Washington State, rural Washington State. I'd been on a bodyboard like twice.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, hey, would you like to go out surfing? And I'm like, I don't know how. They're like, well, you could get a sponge. That's what they called a bodyboard. So I was like, okay, I'll do that with you guys. This sounds fun. Because I had gone bodyboarding a couple of times at like Pismo Beach, California, and maybe one other place, I forget. Well, this is like a pro surf break, okay? And the waves come in like 3 or 4 at a time, and I didn't know it, but you had to swim like a quarter mile out there for the break because it sat on a reef, right? It didn't break on the shore. It broke on a reef like a quarter mile out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a legendary break that these like pro surfers are practicing, and they're just killing it. Well, I didn't know that you either had to go under the wave or beat the crest over the top, right? So there's a point right when that wave breaks at the top where if you're at the top, you ain't getting over and it's too late to get under. And you're about, I don't know, the waves that day were like 6 to 8 feet high. So you look back and as that wave tips over, right, it breaks, it sends you flying back. Woo! So I'm Garibay, right? I missed a kick. I hit the water. Here comes that 8-foot wall of water. Boom.
Yeah.
And knocks you down. Like, and the floor of the ocean there is like 15 or 20 feet down, right?
But you got driven all the way to the floor.
Yes, I did. I did a couple of times. I touched the bottom or touched pieces of the reef, which was very sharp, and that's scary. So you're grabbing onto your bodyboard, the leash on it, and trying to pull yourself to the top because thankfully it's floating. But right as you get to the top, remember I said these waves come in sets of 3 or 4.
Here comes another one.
Here comes another one, dude. Boom! So right as you catch your breath, you're Garibay, and then you get to the top of the next one, and you're like, holy crap, I could barely breathe. Can I get under this one? Am I going to go over the falls again? Right, you're in a fight for your life at that point. I did think I was going to drown that afternoon. I did not think I was going to make it, and I'll never forget those surfers. But after the fourth one, I turned tail and swam my ass off. Swam the fastest quarter mile back to shore that I've ever swam.
But did it change your life in a positive way? I thought you were going to
build some character.
Tell me that you were going to get out there and you were going to surf and you were going to love it and you were going to hate school.
Well, I did go back for more. I did go back for more, and I did hate school.
Okay.
I did leave that school after a semester or so. But yeah, that's what that reminded me of right there, and it was a very interesting experience. Now I can't even go in the ocean. I don't know what the hell I was thinking back.
I can only do the deep sea fishing stuff myself. If you ask me to swim around in the ocean, I'm not very good at that. But good question about the body language.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can tell. It's not checking out. It's just you can tell when pressure really gets on these guys.
214, Gavin's literally talking about Point Break. I don't even know if I've seen that movie. Brian Gavin, what's the number one thing that will prevent a Super Bowl?
Patrick Swayze in that
movie. Yeah, Patrick Swayze.
Keanu
Reeves, too, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Is that the presidential mask they were talking about?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Star-studded.
Yeah, that's a great Halloween costume, by the way, if you guys are thinking ahead.
I went as Ronald Reagan in, like, 1988.
Okay, see,
yeah, I did. I think it was before Point Break, but...
You're way ahead of the game.
The mask was at the store.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool mask.
I'm fascinated by your surfing story, though. I would have never guessed a guy... So you
from Portland?
Yeah,
would surf.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay.
It's interesting that you. I'm like, man, is he? He's going to tell me a surfing story here.
Yeah, that was my surfing story. Now a few weeks later, it got worse because there was a full moon, and they're like, "Hey, does anybody want to do a full moon surf?" And I'd been out a few times since then, where the waves were only like 3 or 4 feet.
Right.
And the scary thing there is, you know, sharks hunt at night. So the whole thing is happening, but this time you can't see the waves coming as good. So if you're not super experienced at like swimming out and going under or going over, I got caught in the falls a couple of more times and boom, down I am. And now I'm popping up in pitch black and I'm like, holy crap, a shark's going to get me. I don't even know where the shore is. That was even worse than my first experience. But over time I did figure it out and I think they were chuckling at me the whole time. Here's this doughy, pale Northwesterner. Down here in Southern California.
Poser, you're a poser.
Total
bro.
Poser.
Yeah. Yeah. You gave it some effort, though.
Yeah,
you didn't just totally turn it down.
Yeah, no. And
like I would have completely said, nah, guys, I'm not.
I kept going back because my roommate was cool, and he was, like, coaching me up in between sessions and stuff, and I got all right, but I was never even close to good.
Did you get hit by the board?
No, because it was, remember, it was the bodyboard.
Which is like the bodyboard. Yeah, but I'm saying, did you ever graduate?
No,
okay,
because I'm
saying, you've seen some of those surfing videos where the board comes flying out of there, and I'm thinking like, I can imagine getting hit by that thing.
I tell you what I did see. Locals mad at us for coming onto their surf spot, you know? This is like a local San Diego place where all the top surfers go. And the waves, you know, you could sit out there for 5 minutes waiting for the next set of waves. So when they come, it's go time. And if you try to get a wave that a local is going for, boy, he's mad. And if you're swimming out while he's coming down the face of that wave and he is mad at you or just doesn't recognize you, he might try to hit you with said surfboard. So there's like fights out there, bro, like locals and people who are just trying to surf there.
There's people that do that in fishing.
Do they?
Like, yeah, you don't want to put your boat, you don't want to hit the trolling motor in between somebody's spot, especially if you, like, I've been on the lake before, especially at Echo, and there's guys out there just, it's like they're in a tuna boat. They're just yanking fishing all day, and I'm going, man, they're on my spot. They're on my spot there. And, you know, so you kind of, hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah, we're just murdering them up here. I'm like, yeah, why don't you move that boat? That's where I normally fish. But, yeah, that's another thing in fish. You don't want to, you don't want to jump in on someone's area.
Well, people get territorial about all kinds of stuff.
They do. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes was asserting his dominance. Hitting that crossbar, you know, is kind of a fun thing for quarterbacks to do.
Yeah.
Well, this son of a gun did it left-handed. And then he did it behind his back, right-handed. And it's like 30 yards out. Pretty cool. So salute to Patrick Mahomes.
Just an incredible. We always talk, scouts talk about guys that throw from different platforms, he's the training reel. Like, watch this guy throw from different platforms. Him and Aaron Rodgers are the guys that, it doesn't matter their arm angle. They could throw the ball well at any arm angle they put themselves in.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Like, I can't even imagine.
Great hand eye.
You know, does that take like days of practice?
Nah.
Or is the hand eye so good they're just like, hey, watch this, man.
I think a lot of these guys, I think guys like Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, I think they're just so natural.
Yeah.
It's just so easy for them to put their arm in any slot. And then Mahomes, like I say, he'll throw. They ran a play the other day I was watching on a little clip, and they were running an option play going to their left. And instead of Mahomes pitching, he threw it behind his back to the guy.
That's
so
sick.
The defender was coming on him, and the defender was right on him. And he just flipped it behind his back, hit the back right in stride to the corner of the end zone.
He's doing and one stuff. Everybody else is playing quarterback. Yeah. He's running around like the professor or something. 214, probably Point Loma or right above La Jolla. Yes, it was. It was Point Loma Nazarene College. It was nice. Met a lot of friends there. Martin Perez gave up a grand slam. Roughed up by the Astros 7-5. Semien Seager and Adolis Garcia all went deep. for the Rangers in defeat. It'll be Otto and Verlander tonight. And who knows? Maybe we'll mess up another Cy Young candidate like we have Otani's number. I don't know. Verlander is 15-3 with a 1.73. In case you were wondering, Brian.
Yeah, he'll be 40 years old. They're talking about a contract extension, but how much? You know, just amazing.
He's been hanging out with Roger Clemens down there.
It's just amazing that the way that the Astros have developed pitching. The Rangers had started off well. You know, Martin was good. First three innings, he was outstanding, and then things just kind of started to fall apart for him there. He doesn't give up many homers, but it kind of led to an inning with walks and stuff like that, and that got him all in trouble.
682 does want us to answer, keeps asking, what's the number one thing that'll prevent a Super Bowl run? It's bad O-line play. You know, I think they're going to be maybe out of the middle third. They might fall into the bottom third in the NFL in pass and run blocking. So if that does not come together, then I think you have a very frustrating offensive year. If it does come together and they have like a top five offensive line, then I think sky's the limit.
If you have terrible balance on offense, if it all turns into all pass all the time, you won't win a Super Bowl.
Alrighty, we got to run. Thanks for tuning in and rolling with us. Audio's coming up at 2:30 with your G-Bag of the Day. Lucius is curating that, putting the finishing touches on it. Cowboys taking a step back this year, most people think, but do they actually have the brightest medium-term future in the whole league? You want some chicken soup for your Cowboys soul? Well, it's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Ranking all 32 NFL teams by their under 25 talent, the best and worst teams when it comes to core young players. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Can the Cowboys get a dub here? Can we get signs of optimism for the future? Here's their criteria. Number of starts made by players under 25. Number of snaps played by players under 25. Quality of play of players under 25. They looked at the metrics for that, the analytics. Relative importance of positions. So they had a lot of criteria in here. Draft value added in the 2022 draft with emphasis placed on premium picks in the first two rounds. You get credit for that. Expected key starters under 25. Got to be a key starter. You can't just be out there. team track records of talent evaluation and development, and significant injuries or suspensions that will affect the players' availability under 25 years old. Do you think the Cowboys ranked pretty good on this, Brian?
Just looking at where guys were selected in the draft and the roles they play on this team, I would say they did very well.
They did very well. As a matter of fact, in 2020, they were 24th on this list.
Right.
In 2021, they were 20th on this list. Okay. And now they are number one.
Number one.
Okay. So how much optimism do you gain from this? They're blue chip players. Micah Parsons, Trevon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb. Is that the kind of foundation that you can build a winning roster from, assuming you have a franchise quarterback? And then notable graduated players, Terrence Steele, Neville Gallimore, Tony Pollard, and Connor Williams. So, that's a pretty good group of guys. I would think, like, if I'm the Bengals and I have Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, maybe those two are better than the seven names I just mentioned. But by their scoring system, they put this as the team with the best collection of talent under 25 years old in the NFL.
Tell you what, it is pretty impressive. And they're super proud about the way they draft, obviously. And they were interested in really signing their own guys too. They're not interested in going out and getting any guys that you might have drafted. And I think there's some, there's some merit to that, because if you're going to be one of these teams that's going to be, on these lists and be in the top five or say, if you're young, that's what coaches always appreciate. You need veteran players, but you also need some young guys. This really is a young guys' game, and the fact that they were able to hit on some guys, that I think that's what's been really, really key. I just hope that some of these young players aren't wasted. I use the word wasted with Jerry Jones, and he didn't appreciate that. I understand.
But he used it with Romo.
Yeah, he did. He did, and he mentioned that. And I don't want it to see its thing where I just like to see these guys. I think they have the right coach in a Dan Quinn. I'm interested to see if Mike McCarthy, if he can help this offense. That's all I'm asking. Because we're talking about several of these players being on offense, these under 25 guys.
Yeah.
I have no problem that Micah Parsons is always going to be well coached.
Yeah.
And put in position to make plays.
And he's like the biggest reason, along with Diggs, that they've made such a big jump.
Yeah.
Even though they have some players under 25 on offense, like, CeeDee Lamb, it's really Diggs and Parsons that made this defense jump from 23rd in DVOA, which is a catch-all metric, in 2020 to second in 2021. Just a huge jump from the bottom third to number two in the NFL. And while defensive efficiency is more volatile than offensive efficiency from year to year, the Cowboys have made smart bets to fill their free agent holes with more day one and day two draft picks like Tyler Smith, Sam Williams, and Jalen Tolbert there, the wide receiver. But the big one here is that, you make that jump in defensive efficiency, and the quarterbacks you play don't suggest that it's going to be volatile. Like that line where they said, yes, defensive efficiency, it's up and down, it's here, it's there. They play three good quarterbacks. And that's if you count Stafford as one of them, who's a borderline top 10 quarterback. But it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Matt Stafford. And I guess you can put Joe Burrow in there as well.
Right.
So they play four good quarterbacks of their 17 games, Brian. They should have another great defensive year.
I'm going to tell you another guy too, and I mentioned him in crosstalk, was Osa Odighizuwa. I just from the eye test, he's on path to have a super season with this defensive line. I'm disruptive, quickness off the ball, getting into the backfield, making plays. I mean, he just has to stay healthy. I think last year he hit the rookie wall, and for the first part of the season he was really good, and then he hit that wall like I was talking about. I think he's ready for this year. And I could see him as, if we do this list next year, I could see him being a part of the names that they're mentioning as, well, these players under 25. Osa might be one of those guys.
Gallimore already is, and if Osa joins that, I think he's one of these rare 300-plus pounders that can move like a little bit of a smaller guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is just, when you watch him play, he understands it. He understands how to play with the leverage. He understands how to play with the quickness. you know, he could get in the backfield in a hurry. You put him on the outside shoulder. He can work cross face on a guy. There's a lot of things you can do with him.
I mean, I think it's nice, but I think the way to be critical of this, and again, the ESPN Insider article, Cowboys number one with under 25 talent going into 2022. It's quite a feather in the cap of the, you know, the scouts and all that. But, you know, you also need veteran players.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Rams went out and got guys over 30 or past their prime to add to a group like this, you know, with good young players. And I think that's what's going to make a championship team. Number two is the Chargers with Herbert and Slater leading the way. Nasir Adderley, Jalen Guyton, and Jerry Tillery amongst the young players for them. The Jets are number three. Okay, they've actually managed to have some pretty good drafts, even though they still can't find a quarterback. The Falcons might be getting ready to turn the corner with Kyle Pitts, A.J. Terrell, Drake London, Isaiah Oliver amongst the players under 25 years old for them, and then the Dolphins. So, you know, it's not necessarily a statement that you're going to be good. Maybe it's a statement that you have had good drafts recently, because none of these teams are good, or none of these teams I think are considered to be contenders. The Jags at six, the Lions are seven. I guess it's pretty cool the Cowboys have been managing to make the playoffs and have good regular season wins and are accumulating the under 25 talent. Is that the comp pick game that they're playing? Or
I think that they've just kind of figured out, you know, the comp pick game helps. With those, you know, when you get an extra third or a fourth or a fifth, there's nothing wrong with that. But the ability to make those picks, I think, has been really the key for them. They have an idea where those players are on the board, and then they make sure they go get them.
You cannot say the Cowboys can't draft. I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. You're in company with teams that spend their entire, you know, 10 years in the bottom 10 of the league. Here he is now. It's time for Lucius Alexander with the G-Bag of the Day. Lucius,
who run it? Who run it?
Lucius.
Who run it?
Lucius.
No, come on, man.
Cowboys?
CBD no. American Shaman. Shop Texas CBD.com. That's who runs it.
Okay.
That's who's running Lucius right now. Got Lucius zooming.
Nice.
Yeah. What is this, a Wednesday hump day?
Yeah. This is hump day, yes.
Okay. All right. All right.
Ranger baseball tomorrow, too.
Hey, yo, you know what's been keeping me up for a while? It's going to sound strange. Remember Willie Bully's top 10 list, sidekicks?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
There was no Barney Fife on that list, bro.
Wow.
I tossed and turned that night. I was sweating. I was not on the list.
How dare they?
How dare they? Who is
classic
this
sidekick right there. Not going to steal your chick. Not going to, you know, steal a spotlight.
No. He's not even going to help you, really.
He's not. He can barely help himself. Yeah.
Let's see. Let's look down here at this paper. See what I got for you, fellas. Okay. Our winner so far, the G-Bag 6 o'clock sound-off winner. This behavior is not encouraged, but for today and today only, we're going to play it here.
Garrett's on line 9. Garrett, you're in the G-Bag Nation. Sound off like you got a pair.
Hey, all you Dallas Cowboy fans who think they're actually going to do something, look in the history books. They ain't going to do shit.
Oh,
Garrett.
You got to keep going the Big 12. Book them. Oh, you still suck.
It was even funnier live, you know, because
even
of the
dump that call. Right. I might vote for it. They like the energy of that guy.
Hey, I could cut you off at the end of that tail if you want me to. If you feel
I
like
keep
you want
jumping
to talk
on
about,
it.
Yeah, that's the second time. It's all good.
No, but
you're only cutting your own self off.
I wanted to say it sounded even better live because the way he pronounced the S word.
Yeah.
It's like he nailed it. He nailed it. And if you're a good cusser, you're going to win.
I seen it building up. I was already laughing. I was listening.
Dallas Cowboy fans who think they're actually going to do something, look in the history book. They ain't going to do.
Nah, I was already laughing. I know where you're going.
Garrett, our one-time champ. And by the way, Lucius is not playing. Do not treat that as your invitation to call in and cuss up a storm in the 6 o'clock sound-off.
Seriously.
We'll have to dump you. You're not going to get on the radio, okay? And if we get too much of it, we're going to have to kill that segment.
Or you can win G-Bag of the Day.
Hey, that's enough from you, man. That's a well-rated segment, okay?
It is.
We need that damn segment.
I know. When we look at the 2 o'clock hour, it's the one thing that we have that we can hang our hat on.
All right, so let's go to the Rangers game last night, fellas. What made Matt Hicks jump out of his bag last night? So you want to say some bad words? You guys aware?
I haven't heard that.
Some fan interference, maybe, with a home run?
Okay.
Well, I guess we don't know here, but we're going to listen for the first time.
Hello. No, I heard his call the first home run. I didn't hear this call, though.
Oh, okay, check this out. Yo, he got kind of mad. Shout out to Jared Sandler. This
field stands. The batter runner will be placed at second base due to the fan interference with the call.
Wow.
And I think that's...
Wow.
Matt, we agree here.
That's, if the fan does not interfere, I feel strongly that's a home run, but I just don't know that that angle or the angles we saw provided enough evidence to overturn it. I'm not agreeing with the fact the call stands. I just wonder if that's their justification.
Yeah. I want to say some bad words right now.
Me too, man. Me too, man.
I love how Jared's trying to put the perfect words to it, yeah, and Hicks just went caveman.
Yeah.
Bad words.
Jared, I don't hear a word you're saying right now. One of those things, yeah.
Hicks wanted to go full Garrett.
He sure did.
He sure did.
You want to jump out of that booth. Oh, I just seen some lightning behind us, y'all. Lightning has me on edge lately.
Round two.
Because lightning's really been just getting after it.
It's been fatal.
It's been trying to get us out of here.
Yeah.
What did we do to the lightning?
I haven't seen it in a while.
Maybe Mother Nature's trying to tell us something.
So aggressive.
Tried to get you with that COVID. You guys dug that?
It didn't work.
Try this.
Wham! How about a monkey pock of lightning in the batch? Peter Griffin prank phone call. This guy sounds just like Peter Griffin. Like, seriously, listen to this prank phone call, yo.
I'm prank calling you. I'm asking you about my wife, Lois.
It's good.
Yeah, who is this? What do you mean, who is this? This is Peter Griffin. What are you talking about here? Now, Zay, we're going to get down to the bottom of this right now. All right. Now, why were you f***ing my wife? Oh, you think this is funny? What?
The laugh at the end, bro. The laugh at the end, put the sauce on it.
Family Guy's good, too, man.
Shoot, yeah, man.
And Lois was horny, though.
She was.
Yeah.
She's kind of like Peggy Bundy was with Al. Al, come upstairs. Yeah. Now I find myself feeling the same way. She's like, I got some new toes. You want to check them out? I'm like, come on.
Al's reaction to that was crazy. It was like he was smelling the worst thing ever.
Yeah, come on. And the whole time you're watching it like, Al, what are you doing,
What are you doing?
Yeah. Come on, it's Peggy Bundy right here, fam.
Right? Yeah, Peggy had it going on a little bit.
Outfits weren't bad. Yeah.
No, she like had it pulled all the way up to the waist.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
There was a little Elvira feel to her. I mean,
I used to like Elvira all night on USA.
Yeah.
I used to turn the channel, mom walked by. I'm not watching that.
Any other nominees, sir?
How about you want to... Well, we're up against it, but I mean, if you want it,
this is gonna win. Go ahead.
No, Australian zombie man with road rage breaks a window and rants about the jab.
Wow,
talking about the Fauci ouchie, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay,
yeah, it's kind of weird. Listen to this.
Oh wow! Are you catching this?
Whoa.
You idiot. You idiot. You idiot. You got the vaccine, didn't bother you? You both got the vaccine and it's forced
along.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Wow. Why are you laughing? You need to relax, bro. This man just got his window broken. He's scared to death. You laughing at him, bro.
Why didn't we just drive away?
Is there traffic or something?
Are you getting this?
I'm getting this.
He's about to smash our damn window in.
Awful, bro. I'm going to need you to clock out, bro.
I need another Foster's. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Crikey. Yeah. He broke the window. God. Is it our one-time champ, Garrett, on the 6 o'clock sound-off breaking the FCC rules? You can get arrested for that, by the way. Rangers game. Matt Hicks jumped out of his bag. Peter Griffin prank phone call. Australia man with some zombie road rage going on. I'm going to vote for Sands and Hicks, Lucius. How about you?
Peter Griffin.
We're tied at one. Brian, decide it.
I'll tell you what. That was a great impression right there. Peter Griffin for me as well.
By a score of 2-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Peter Griffin with a prank phone call. And you're going to want to tune in every afternoon, 2:30, see who's the G-Bag of the Day. If you miss it, LA Live, Lucius Alexander, he replays it for you every evening at 5:40. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, sir. Where are we headed?
Yeah, I got some Roquan Smith thoughts for you. We'll do that next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a good one. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, the former Cowboys scout, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that, you and Lucius. I'm interested in this whole thing with the Bears and Roquan Smith. And could this be a possibility for the Dallas Cowboys?
Bears had a bad day on the stock market, didn't they?
Yeah.
Woo!
And so... it's interesting because when you start to do some research, and this is coming from Jeremy Fowler with ESPN, and it made me want to do a little bit more research on the player because then I had to ask the Gang of Seven.
Okay, we went in depth on this.
I went in depth.
I like it.
I just wanted to know because sometimes, you know, I think Jeremy Fowler at ESPN does a really, really nice job with his content. The title of his piece was Roquan Smith's Trade Fits. And there's 10 teams with picks, salary cap space for the Chicago Bears linebacker. So he wanted to go through and kind of say the teams that would be the best fits for Roquan Smith. And so I said, okay, well, let's see what list he's got here. So he starts off with Seattle as the number one team. I'm like, okay, great. Seahawks, fine. Kansas City was another team he mentioned, you know. So, because what happens, Poles, the gentleman's name, who is the Chicago Bears GM, worked at Kansas City.
Okay.
So, there might be some connection there between the Chiefs and the Bears as far as for Roquan Smith. Atlanta, that's a team that we mentioned.
He's a Georgia guy, right?
Yeah.
Head home?
Yeah. Well, Ryan Pace, who was the GM in Chicago, just got hired in Atlanta as a senior personnel executive. So the Falcons might, and Ryan Pace is the one that drafted him in 2018. So again, we're talking about kind of those young teams that we're saying, you know, you mentioned here's the first one, the under 25 team, Atlanta. Would they add a player like this? You know, that'd be interesting there. The Dolphins were another team, because the Dolphins love to make splash-type trades and signings and stuff. They've got about...
You do that on purpose? Dolphins make a splash?
Dolphins make splash. You know, I didn't think about that, Lucius. I just said it.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Still getting the coffee into the system, bro.
I'll tell you what, though. I appreciate you pointing that out.
Dolphins, yeah, that's paying attention. Yeah.
That is paying attention. Dolphins making a splash, like Lucius is talking about. They're interested in doing that. They have about $19.5 million in cap space, and they're lacking a marquee guy on that defense to complement their cornerstone pieces elsewhere. So
seems like they'd have a hell of a team if they got him. Yeah. I mean, they already are a pretty good playoff contender. Yeah.
The Denver Broncos are another team mentioned. Broncos have been actively searching for linebacker help. George Patton faced Smith twice a year while with the Vikings until 2021. So he knows what the player can do. The Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, are mentioned. So there could be... Brandon Staley has a connection with Smith from his days in Chicago when he was there.
Are they not even going to put... You got eight teams on this so far, don't you?
Yeah. How about this? The Lions, then the Commanders, Ravens, and now your Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Yeah, you at least got to put them on the list.
Yeah.
They're fairly solid at linebacker. I'm sorry, Brian. I think for any team, if you're going to give up significant draft capital and then $20 million for an inside linebacker... I don't know if you're paying that much attention. Maybe your Gang of Seven is going to tell us he's that special, but I mean, you're a linebacker. I only can pay so many guys $20 million. I'm thinking wide receiver, corner, Defensive end, obviously. I'll do defensive tackle. I mean, I'll do all the offensive line spots before I'm thinking of that kind of commitment at linebacker. Unless you are so good at coverage that you're like locking down the Travis Kelce's and you're getting me like, I don't know, 5 to 8 sacks per year. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be a demon in the pass defense game. I can't just take a linebacker that sometimes affects the passing game. For that much money draft capital, that's tough. I'm sure somebody will do it. But this is, I think, the next position to come along, like similar to running back has, where there's got to be a significant market correction unless you can defend the pass.
Yeah, talking about the Cowboys here, and I like what you're saying, by the way. I think you make a really, really good points about it.
What'd you say?
The Cowboys have been very prudent in their pursuit of talent with the priority of homegrown talent in recent years.
Yeah.
But it's hard to ignore Smith's fit in a defense. As scouts and executives see it, because Leighton Vander Esch on a 1-year, $2 million deal signed in March suggests he's not a long-term answer. Micah Parsons considering too good to be a pass rush only to stay at linebacker for too long. And the Cowboys did sign Anthony Barr. Now, that's the reason why I don't think they would go do this, because of Barr. I felt like they were going to add a linebacker, and I felt all along they were doing it because they were waiting on Barr's contract to come down, his demands.
So yeah, they don't have a need. They don't need a body. Yeah. But also it showed you what they have budgeted for linebacker.
Okay, now this is what's interesting though. And you know, we've talked about what it would cost. And executives around the league, and this is not my gang of seven, but executives from this interview says that you could probably get him for a third round pick.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Because he's demanding a big contract.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
That changes it a little bit.
All right. So now I reach out to the Gang of Seven, and my question to the Gang of Seven was simply, would you trade for Roquan Smith? One of my guys said this. It's a tough one. Really like the player. Active, productive, three-down player. Oh, he kind of fits what you're talking about. Can I get some coverage?
A little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Can I get some coverage? Can I do, you know, can I keep, you know, keep you on the field? Depends on the compensation, which it seems like to be with Fowler's article, they think that it's going to be a third-round pick. So,
and then his player compensation's got to be a bigger.
Yeah. And my guy said this. He says, I have to have a deal done before the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this unless I have a deal done. I'm not going to make this trade and then try and negotiate a contract. So he's saying, no, I need to know his compensation. He says this, though, again, he says, I do worry about giving a $20 million-plus contract to a small inside linebacker. They tend to wear down fast.
Hmm. No, I'm not.
A lot of linebackers do wear down fast.
They do wear down fast.
It's a high collision spot.
He said this, though, to close. If the Cowboys are pushing hard and can fit the contract, then yes, I make this deal.
Hmm.
Okay. Another one of the Gang of Seven told me. He said, I would need to know how much he's asking for in the extension. But purely on football, absolutely I would. So, okay, now we got that.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player, and he would make this team better. There's no doubt about that. It's just like, when do you fire bullets and who do you fire them at?
Final guy got to me, back to me. So we got three opinions here. This guy said probably not.
Here we go. What's he got to say?
Combination of draft capital. Now, he thinks you'd probably have to give more.
Okay.
Draft capital you'd have to give up and pay him might be hard to swallow. I'm not a fan of paying linebackers $18-plus million.
Yeah, it's just so hard. There's so many other positions, and when a linebacker plays well, you see it a lot. You're like, oh, look at that. He's running all over the place. He's tackling everybody. But like, for a significantly less money, you get a lot of that production still. You know, like, it's not like great defensive ends. I have a great defensive end. He's going to get 20 sacks. If I get a really cheap version of him, it might be 2 sacks. At linebacker, oh, I got the best linebacker. He got 110 tackles. The next best linebacker doesn't get 10% of his production like it can at defensive end. It's 80 or 85% of it for $2 million instead of $18 million. So it's a real big economic puzzle. And that's why a lot of the smart teams, now it's happened occasionally with a Bobby Wagner or something, but you need real special players and real special circumstances for those guys to impact winning on a similar level.
Over four seasons, Smith has reached elite status by filling up the stat sheets, we're seeing here. He's got 524 tackles, 43 for loss, 14 sacks, 17 pass deflections, and 5 interceptions. He ranked 5th in the league in tackles last year with 163.
A lot of tackles.
Yeah. See, the thing about it is, man, that is a super productive player right there.
He is. Yeah, but you only gave me 1.5 picks per year and 3 sacks. Okay? That's cool. You've stopped, what have you stopped? 8 drives over 4 years.
Yeah.
With a big sack or a turnover. And, you know, meanwhile, Trevon Diggs is over here. He's gotten you 11, right? So do I want to go look for another corner? I got $20 million to spend. Do I want to go look for another corner who can stop some of the best wide receivers and get me a lot of takeaways? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to get a guy that stops running backs? You know why he did that? Because the Chicago defense was trash.
Right.
It's like Dwight Powell. For those years, somebody had to get rebounds from the big man position for the Mavericks.
Sure.
And, you know, if you're a good player who can get to the ball on a bad defense, I do imagine you're going to get a lot of tackles.
Do you worry, real quick here, do you worry more about teams running the ball on Dallas or throwing the ball on Dallas?
For this year, probably running. Yeah. You know,
this guy do anything for you? Just make a tackle.
He would make you better. I need that $20 million.
I think you're onto something. I'm not going to disagree with you because like the gang was talking about. Hey, they need to know the compensation.
Yeah.
They need to know. And there's, you know, one of the guys is like, listen, I'm not interested in paying a linebacker $18 million.
Straight cash, homie.
But you're gonna have to pay this Micah Parsons. Get ready for that.
Yeah. Well, and this team just paid Jalen Smith $11 million. So if they got him, I would be ecstatic.
Sure.
You know, because now you have a path to victory. But nothing from this team's actions has said this is a go for it year. This is kind of a let it turn year, and maybe we'll still make the playoffs, and maybe if our defense is number one in the NFL, we could win a playoff game or two. It feels like there's no chance they would actually do it, but if they did, boy, that would be really exciting.
Would be.
It's kind of the last day in Oxnard training camp. We have the All Oxnard Awards coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.